On this last Sunday of the liturgical year, we celebrate the solemnity of Christ the King. By the readings the Church has chosen for this solemnity, we are directed to consider what our citizenship in Jesus' kingdom means and to think about Christ as its King. Following Monsignor's lead, I'll focus on our second reading from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Colossians. We just heard these words read. Brothers and sisters, let us give thanks to the Father who has made you fit to share in the inheritance of the Holy Ones in light. He delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Paul's letter to the Colossians was written in the year 63. He was under house arrest in the city of Rome, and he wrote this letter to encourage this new church. The city of Colossae is in the present-day country of Turkey, and in the centuries before Christ, it was an important trading city. But by the first century, other nearby cities had eclipsed it. It was a backwater town, not a Rome, Athens, or even a Jerusalem. Now, in order that we might more deeply understand how Paul's words speak to us today, I'm going to ask that you take a journey with me to Colossae as I tell the story of three Colossian Christians, Anthony, Helen, and Lydia. Now, their story, of course, is fictional. However, it's based on facts that we do know about the early church. So while we can't know for sure if there was an Anthony, Helen, or Lydia in Colossae, we can be certain that every man and woman there in that small congregation, in that small early church, had a similar story about how they were brought into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we go. It's springtime. You and 30 others are crowded into a modest home serving as a church this Sunday morning. The fellowship learns about Christ from words of Scripture, prays together, and many share in a meal, breaking bread together in the Eucharistic feast. This morning, your leaders are particularly excited, for a few days ago, a messenger arrived with Rome carrying a letter from the famous missionary Paul. This is the first Sunday his letter is read. Now, women, imagine this. You are Helen. You're with your husband, Anthony, and your household slave, Lydia. You had asked Lydia to bring you here a year ago, and you were baptized 2 months before. Today, your husband attends for the first time. Anthony and you were born in Rome. You married. You started your family there. Your parents' families, although not among the wealthy, were members of the leadership class. So your life was comfortable and secure in Rome. It's no surprise, then, that you were not happy 2 years ago when your husband, a Roman legion officer, was given the command of the Colossian garrison. Well, reluctantly you followed, bringing with you your children and Lydia. When you heard these words of Paul read, you thought of how much things had changed for you. Paul's words, give thanks to the Father, led you to immediately think of Lydia and the events of the previous year, how you were no longer the unhappy transplant, but Colossae had become your home. What had changed? Well, in the April of 62, cholera struck your town, sparing neither the rich nor the poor. As the death toll mounted, people start abandoning the city, fleeing to the mountains around. The sick, everyone knew that they were doomed, were left behind. As commander, your husband needed to stay a little longer than he wanted to, but finally he was able to go. Unfortunately, the day before your family's departure, you became violently ill. If the plague was to stop, you knew that you needed to stay. Your memory for the days that followed are a blur. What you do distinctly remember is that, to your surprise, Lydia did not leave your side. She nursed you back to health. You knew for certain that you owed your life to her. When you recovered, you asked her why she stayed. She told you that she had become a follower of Jesus Christ. One Sunday, she heard a teacher retell one of Jesus' parables about a despised Samaritan traveler who unexpectedly and generously helped an injured stranger. Lydia learned that it was more blessed to serve than to be served. A disciple of Christ is not to abandon the neighbor in need. Who is my neighbor? Jesus' answer, everyone, even the master of the slave. Shortly after this conversation, you started going with Lydia to the Sunday gathering. The next words in Paul's letters were these: all followers of Christ shared in the inheritance of God's holy ones. You learned that when you were baptized 2 months ago, you became a member of the household of God. You had a hard time comprehending this at first, and in fact, you felt it before you understood it. Every Sunday, you experienced this unity when people from all walks of life came together. You saw the merchant sit by the day laborer, the city official stand by the slave, and the rich Greek woman receive the same broken bread as the elderly Jewish man. There was a unity and an equality here in Christ, unlike anything you had ever experienced before. The gift of citizenship in the kingdom of Jesus was a gift offered to all. Now, men, imagine that you're Anthony. You're struck by the next words of Paul's letter. He delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. In Greek, the word for transferred is methetismi. This word brought your thoughts back to the events of 3 years before. Your Roman legion had just defeated the Persians, and as was the practice of the day, they transferred the elite of the Persian society to Rome. Lydia was among the spoils of this war. She was part of your reward for a battle well fought. Her husband, a leader in the Persian army, was crucified along the Appian Way leading into Rome. From the look on the captive Persians' faces and on Lydia's face, you knew that their journey was not a transfer into darkness. It was a movement from freedom into slavery. Caesar's methetismi always was. Yet when Paul used this word to describe a movement from darkness into light, he was clearly describing something very different. Suddenly it occurred to you that the transferring Paul was giving thanks for was the very journey that Lydia had been on since becoming a Christian 2 years ago. At that time, 2 years ago, you'd been puzzled by a change in her, a softening that you had detected in her face and a kindness in her manner that had not been there before. This morning, it also struck you that you had seen the same change in your wife since her recovery from cholera. How the wall of distrust between Lydia and herself had broken down. How joyfully she went about her duties as mother and wife. At that moment, even though you barely knew who this Jesus was, you gave him thanks. The final words of Paul's prayer moved all three of you. In Jesus, we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. You knew that and were too aware of how heavily the burden of your past sins had weighed on you, that in becoming a citizen of Jesus' kingdom, you could be forgiven all these failures by a merciful God brought a tear to your eyes. After Paul's letter had been read, the assembly was silent for a long while. Finally, the presbyter arose and told the story about Jesus' crucifixion, how a guilty thief being executed with Christ repented and implored, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And how the Lord, whipped, beaten, near death, replied, Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Okay, that's all good and well, Deacon, but what does this have to do with us in 2019 in Holy Family Parish? Well, I want to leave you with four take-home thoughts. First, Jesus is the head of the eternal kingdom in heaven, where the Father's will is perfectly done. Obtaining a place in the kingdom of heaven ought to be the primary desire of every subject of Christ the King. Second, the divine kingdom does not just exist in heaven. It exists on earth as well as a universal kingdom throughout time, whether the year 63 or the year 2019. It exists in all places. It's as present in Prairie du Chien as it was in Colossae. Yes, we all know that it exists imperfectly. The Father's will is never done completely by any one of us. This is why we pray for its more perfect coming at every Mass, that the Father's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The third thought, in the same way the kingdom was present that Sunday in the year 63 for the Colossians, it's present for us today in Holy Family Parish. When we gather in fellowship, when we hear the word proclaimed, when we offer our prayers to the Father, and when we break the bread, the kingdom is present. Do we experience it? Fourth and final thought. We live in a culture that is increasingly hostile to a traditional Christianity with its proclamation that Christ, the King, is the way, the truth, and the life. We citizens of flyover country are increasingly told to keep this claim within these walls and out of the public square. Our country's elite are wrong in believing that justice is giving everyone what they desire rather than what is their due, that the virtue of tolerance is paramount over the virtue of self-giving love, and that peace is achieved when every human being lives his or her life as its own reality, rather than living as faithful citizens of the King. So no matter what we think or however much we try to ignore him or deny him, Jesus Christ is the King above all kings. He's a servant king who endured death in order to redeem us. For this and for all the graces he wishes to give us, we have much to thank God for. One final request. In a few moments, Father will pray the preface prayer, the Church's great hymn of thanksgiving to the Father for Christ the King. Listen carefully to the words and make this your prayer this coming week as well.
Our announcements this morning. Please check the bulletin for activities this week, especially the lottery sweepstakes calendar. And scrip is available to be purchased right after Mass.